Hello, everyone, and welcome into episode number 270 of the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
Nick, what did you learn? Last week, we were talking about a really fun
Mentos.
Thing.
Mentos.
Right. Mentos so, and Coke. So,
yeah, we were talking about the saltine, how to eat saltines, what the process was to eat saltines.
Which we did not have time to actually do.
No, we're definitely going to do it before next week's podcast.
Absolutely.
Definitely 100%. I'm stopping by the grocery store on the way home today. I will not forget this time, I promise. Maybe we should try it on air. Well, we'll get to that later.
No, we're not going to do that. I promise we will not.
We may put it on the Instagram.
So
that's true.
May.
I asked what the word was that was the reason for the Mentos Coke reaction. It's actually a physical reaction, not a chemical reaction. The term that I was looking for was nucleation.
Oh, okay.
So it is basically the definition of in the Coke and Mentos situation is that a Mentos, while appearing to be smooth, when you look at it microscopically, is filled with like the Grand Canyon of craters and everything else. And because there is so much, quote unquote, surface area, all of those surface areas, all of those corners, all of those edges are places for bubbles to form. So because there are so many surfaces for the bubbles to form on, that is why there's such an immediate reaction.
Oh.
So.
Interesting.
Yeah, but nucleation, that was the word I was looking for.
Nucleation.
It was bothering me all week until Lindsay brought it up here and told me I had to look it up.
Yes.
You promised the people.
Yeah, exactly.
And I constantly forget things. Yeah. Okay, so I would like to kick off today because I got two facts coming at you, and both of them, I think, are incredibly interesting. So
I
want to toot my own horn. Burr, burr. No, that's not a horn. Burr, burr. No, okay. Anyway,
same noise.
Yeah, it's just all my segue noises.
One of these, you know what, for Christmas this year, I'm getting you a soundboard for the podcast.
Oh, I would love that. I would absolutely love that.
But here's the thing. No pre-recorded sounds. You have to make all of your own sounds.
That sounds like an absolute dream. I've watched a lot of YouTube videos about Foley artists. Oh, it's so interesting. Like, you want to know that fact about elephant noises for Jurassic Park dinosaurs? I'm your gal.
Right.
Anyway.
The Star Wars blaster?
Yeah.
That sound is made by hitting one of the cables on the Golden Gate Bridge with a wrench.
Oh, that's
like
cool.
Like the pew, pew.
Yeah. That's amazing. That's amazing stuff.
Yeah.
But I guess mine kind of segues in that it's about an audiobook.
Okay.
So multiple series of questions here. What Roy Dotrice, pardon me if I'm saying your name wrong, Roy, holds the record for most voices in an audiobook?
Okay.
So one recording of the book. So first question.
Wait.
So he did the characters, like the different voices.
Okay. So it's one book. He did all of the different kinds of voices for all of the different characters.
Yeah. So 224. And that's the world record, quote, most voices in an audiobook, according to Guinness.
Okay.
So questions are, how many voices? Or did I say that?
224.
Oh, I did say that. Okay.
How close am I?
Exactly right. Sorry. What was the book?
Lord of the Rings.
No.
Not Lord of the Rings. Game of Thrones.
I was going to say Game of Thrones.
A Song of Ice and or Song of Fire and Ice.
Yes,
the first book in the series. It was released in January 2004.
Yep.
How long was that? If you listened to it from beginning to end, how many hours and how many minutes was that audiobook with these 224 characters?
So what is the average? Wait, is it the entirety of A Song of Ice and Fire?
It's the first book. So
just
it was the one
first
that was
book.
Recorded in January of 2004.
Okay. So Game of Thrones.
Specifically.
Game of Thrones was the first book of the Song of Ice and Fire series.
Right.
So what is the average length of an audiobook? Like 6 to 8 hours?
Oh, it's got to be more than that.
You think it's more than that?
Yeah.
I've only ever listened to 2 or 3 or 4 audiobooks in my life.
Yeah, sorry. The book specifically is a Game of Thrones.
Yes.
And it's the first book in the Song of Ice and Fire series.
Yeah, that's what I said.
I know. I just wanted to confirm that I was now saying that and my fact was still correct.
Yes.
And it is.
Okay.
It's just for the Game of Thrones. So how long for that?
So what is an average audiobook? 14 hours?
14 hours sounds about right. I mean, growing up, my parents listened to a lot of audiobooks. So I was used to them like jumping in the car and them being at chapter 7. It's like...
Okay.
But
yeah,
I've never been
an audiobook person.
Days.
Yeah. I mean, I have all three of the audiobooks that I have listened to were all part of the same series.
Right.
It was the Jumper series. They made that movie Jumper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that was a book first.
Yeah, it was a book first, and it's either a trilogy or there's four of them or something like that. And that's where I was thinking it's the only audiobook I've heard, but the narrator does all three voices, including the 14-year-old girl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's another career that I would have loved to do, voice work for audiobooks. Oh my gosh, I
would
love
it. You can still get into that. There's still time, Lindsay. Hire me, please. Accomplish your dreams.
Yeah, hire me.
All right. Maybe we have a District Trivia audio reading.
Oh gosh, I wish.
So if 14 hours is the average 300-page book.
I'm going to say 18 hours.
I'm going to say it's more than that. If 13 hours is the average 300-page book, Game of Thrones was 1,000 pages or something like that.
I have no idea.
So three times that. So I'm going to say 40 hours.
40 hours. You're close. It was 33 hours and 36 minutes.
Okay.
And by the way, a Game of Thrones is 694 pages.
Oh, okay. So I was off by about a third.
Yeah, so your math was pretty close. Yeah. Okay. So 694 pages. But yeah, 33 hours, 36 minutes. The full audiobook comprises 28 discs of 72 minutes each. So it's a lot of CDs if you still had those in your car.
First off, discs?
Yeah, that's how the record is listed.
And they came in like a flipbook case that you just pull one CD.
Okay.
Like it was like a 10 CD case. Like I remember these vividly.
Compact discs.
Yeah.
And if you ever do need an audiobook to listen to, I mean, obviously I want to go listen to this and hear all of these different voices, but highly, highly recommend the World War Z audiobook. It's a whole bunch of celebrities.
Yeah.
Each chapter
is a different
person.
Yeah,
I feel like we've talked about this on the podcast before, but
I don't think we have. I think you and I have talked extensively about it. Yeah.
World War Z is one of my favorite books ever.
Did you ever read the Zombie Survival Guide?
Yes.
That was
the first
quote unquote book in that series.
Very cool. All right, well, you guys' turn now for some facts.
Yeah. Michael, you can go ahead.
All right, I'll give it a shot.
Oh, you'll give it a shot.
I'll give it a shot.
Mine will be real quick.
I'm always scared with my facts because every now and then you guys will just slam them.
Every now and then? Yeah. By now and then you mean like 80 to 90% of the time.
Do you see what you're doing is you're making us agree on things.
Yes.
Right. That never happens.
I bring people together. That's what I do.
I put together a picture round and Lindsay's like, oh, puppies. No.
Okay. Pretty straightforward.
Okay.
Which country has the most time zones?
Russia.
No.
Really?
Really.
Is this going to be one of those tricky ones with your...
Great Britain,
the UK. Yeah, Great Britain.
Because they have territories all over the world and cover 23 of the 24 time zones.
Okay, here we go.
Good logic. Yeah. No.
Oh, okay.
Is it the U.S.
It's
for
not
the same
US.
Reason?
Yeah. Is it not one of the imperialist, expansionist countries?
Yeah.
No. Portugal?
Getting closer.
Is it France?
It's France.
There we go. Okay.
It's
one of the expansion because they have territories in Africa South America. And
country uses 12 time zones.
Southeast Asia.
The highest in the world because of its several overseas territories.
Yeah.
Moan all you want. I thought that was a great fact. And by the way, Russia's like third.
Okay. Well, here's the question now.
Or second. I'm sorry. They have 11.
We've had this debate in the office when we're talking about countries that border France. Are you going to count all of those countries? Because there's always somebody. Yeah. Always somebody says that about the one in...
French Guiana. In South America.
South America,
well, if you guys want to keep going, I do have the top 10 here as well.
I want to know what your answer to that is. Because
we are counting overseas territories.
Yes.
Okay, so we're going to include that part in the question.
To throw out the ones you guys already said for the top 10. France is number one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Russia's number two.
Russia's tied for number two.
Okay.
With the U.S.
Okay.
USA. USA.
UK's number five.
Okay.
At nine.
Okay.
I think that's all you guys
15
said,
years ago, that would have been a lot different.
Yeah.
Yeah. 50 years ago,
Spain.
It would have been more different.
Spain not on here.
Spain's not on there. Australia.
Australia number six at eight.
Okay.
Canada number seven at six.
So what are we missing?
China.
So you're missing
China
number
only has
four
one time zone. Time,
oh, yeah, I forgot
all
about
of China
that.
Is one
I
time
forgot
zone.
About that. I was just listing population.
Yeah, so you were going Philippines.
Philippines, no.
No.
You guys
it's
are missing.
Like an island archipelago.
Four, eight, nine,
archipelago.
And ten.
Archipelago.
It was a great
four,
name,
eight,
a great
nine.
Word. Really.
Archipelago?
Archipelago, yeah.
Yeah. You have to be able to say it in order for it to.
Archipelago. I don't know. Just a fun word.
Then it would have to be the more imperialist expansion countries. Portugal?
Not Portugal.
No. Italy?
They're actually, to my knowledge anyway, they're not. They're not kind of the imperialist. Like number four, I don't necessarily agree with.
Okay.
Go on. Just tell us. I need
number
to know.
Four is Antarctica.
Okay.
Oh, that's not.
It's just.
Is that? That's not
what
a country.
Article
right,
is this? I hate everything
it's
about
World
what's
Atlas.
Happening.
Right.
World Atlas. Oh my gosh.
Number eight is Denmark.
Okay.
Oh, Denmark. Yeah. Never would have guessed countries. Denmark.
Number nine, New Zealand.
New Zealand.
They have five.
Why?
Which is a lot of islands. A
lot of islands.
Yeah. Archipelago.
And tied for, I guess, number 10, Brazil and Mexico at 4 each.
Brazil and Mexico. Again, Caribbean. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Doesn't make any sense. We'll have to delve into that before I can prove how wrong you are.
Indonesia was number 12, by the way.
Yeah.
Only 3 times.
You're just opening up a whole lot of hurt for our hosts when they ask this question.
Yeah. We're asking, according to the podcast.
No.
France is number, looking at the list. France is number one, 12 time zones.
Based on when factoring in expansion territories.
Yeah, we're going to put that in the question, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, what is the
get mad because you don't know how
Lindsay
many.
Lindsay is disappointed in me. I can feel it.
I just get a lot of emails where people are like, technically this. And it's like, you know the answer we're looking for, you know?
Right. Ugh. That's my go-to.
No, I get it. Everyone is really smart, and you're way smarter than me. And all of this rooted hatred is just coming from a place of extreme jealousy because I wish I knew all that you knew. You know,
right?
Oh, for me,
I can't tell if you're being sarcastic or not.
I will not say either way.
I always get those people.
It was that
it's like,
one
well, actually,
semester
this.
Of acting, and, you know.
I get those people like, well, actually, it's this. Like, if you knew that, you knew what I was asking
right,
for.
Yeah. Well, my go-to is always. What do you want to answer? And then they tell me the one that they want to pick, and that's usually the one we're going for. I'm like, well, then you should probably answer that one. And just go from there.
Or the correct answer is the opposite of what you were trying to say.
Right, exactly. Or it's either this or it's this. Look, you're in last place. Put both. I'll give it to you. It's not going to matter. You're way behind.
Okay, so your turn.
All right,
your
so my fact. Interesting fact. Ready for this segue?
Oh.
Do-do-do. That
There's
was pretty
segue,
good.
Though. Yeah, wow. It's better than any you go.
But that's a very low bar.
There is a French seaside resort.
Hey, French.
Hey.
Yeah.
What time zone is it in?
It's all of them. There's a French seaside resort.
The look
resort.
That Lindsay just gave me.
Ooh, is this where Bruce Wayne and Anne Hathaway ended up?
Wasn't that Italy? Was that in France?
I thought it was France.
I thought it was in Italy.
I thought it was.
All right.
Italy
well,
also.
Keep going yeah. with your fact.
There is a French seaside resort. That has installed vending machines that sell what food item?
Fish.
It's a seaside resort. It is not fish.
Right,
but
wouldn't that
some,
make sense, though?
Yeah,
it's a seaside resort, yes. And they have punch it in. Boop, boop, boop. I'll take a mackerel. And then a little fish flops down. Put it in your bucket.
Is it live? Does it like fall out with like a little splattering of water and then start flopping around in like the retrieval space?
See, I think that's more of a crane game at that point. Just... get the fish.
That would be impossible.
Oh, is it in a bowl?
But a lot of fun.
Is it like the soda thing where it like goes up and like pulls the bowl out and brings it down?
Back home, and I'm certain they're all around the country. Back home, there's this bar called Michael's.
Okay.
They have a lobster tank, and it's a crane machine. And if you catch
it,
and it like I have friends that either love this thing or are horrified by this
thing. Sure. I can see both arguments.
But if you catch the lobster, they send it to the back and cook it for you.
Yeah.
Oh.
What would they do otherwise? You take it home and raise it as a pet?
I had a friend of mine. He's just like, yeah, I'll throw a dollar and see what happens. He got it. He got a lobster dinner for a dollar because he went off of this crane machine.
Absolutely. Well, that's hard for the restaurant because it's got to be easier to catch the big ones than it is to catch the small ones. Like a 5-pound lobster for a dollar.
They weren't that big.
Also, if I ever order lobster at a restaurant, I'm paying more than a dollar. If I'm paying for a dollar, even if I win it, if I'm paying a dollar for a lobster, I'm going to get sick.
That's the other thing. It's a sports bar. It's a dive.
Hey, what do we learn about ordering lobsters at a diner?
Yeah, you don't order lobster at a diner or at a sports bar.
No, it's just a very good SNL sketch.
Yeah, no, I saw it.
Oh, good.
That's what I said, at a diner.
Oh, okay. I'm just making sure.
You also don't do it while singing Les Mis. See, right. I've seen it.
Okay, well, it's very hip and recent, so I assume not.
Damn.
Anybody else
also,
hear those shots fired?
But I came with that. Shot to you, and I was wrong that it was a cafe in Italy. I said France.
It was, okay.
So I was wrong. You were right.
All right.
So
does it hurt? Did it hurt to say that?
Aloe on the burn there for you. Okay, where were we?
By the way, Michael, I need you to take this episode. I want you to cut out Lindsay saying that about me and send it to me in like one of those cards with you open it up.
I was going to change it to your ringtone.
No, that's
that would
be
great. Yeah, whenever Lindsay calls.
That's going to be one of the... buttons on the soundboard. And then I don't have to ever say it again.
Nick, you were right. Nick, you were right. It's going to be one of those buttons where like the markings are rubbed off because it's touched so much.
Oh, goodness. What question are we asking?
Vending machine.
I know,
the
I guess fish.
You get fish. Michael hasn't guessed yet.
I should be right.
You should be.
We got into claw machines and...
Yeah, no, it's honestly...
Claw machines with lobsters. I just... there's also that... I just made that connection.
Claude. Claudette.
Okay, Michael.
We're off the rails.
What food, what seafood would you buy?
So it is a seafood.
It is a seafood. Yes. Okay. It's a French seaside resort. It is a seafood.
Okay,
I told
clams.
You. Oysters.
Oysters.
You can buy oysters from a wood. Now, follow up question.
Sorry, Michael.
Would you buy oysters from a vending machine?
From a French vending machine? Absolutely.
Okay.
From a seaside vending machine? Sure,
It's kind of like getting the Japanese vending machines that had sushi.
Okay.
Like, say, if it's the seaside thing and it's like, look, we pulled it from there this morning.
Right.
Then yeah.
Okay. There's something wrong about buying oysters from a vending machine. Again, psychologically, I think I would get sick.
Oh, yeah.
By eating that, regardless of how fresh and wonderful and delicious they were. Psychologically, like, I would psych myself out to be, I am eating vending machine. Would you buy an egg salad sandwich from a truck stop vending machine?
And that's what I'm saying. That's the difference.
Right.
Now, if I'm in Whole Foods and Whole Foods has the egg salad vending machine.
Uh-huh.
Oh, so bourgeoisie.
This is what I'm saying. It's like, you consider the venue that the vending machine is there.
The bottom line is, don't buy a lobster in a diner.
Yes.
Can I completely shift gears and do my last fact today, because it's a really good one.
Okay.
Is that cool? You down?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You were looking for actual verbal confirmation from everybody.
I just want to make sure that you were ready for this.
I'm good.
You know what? You know what? In hindsight, no.
Yeah, I also disagree. I don't want to do your interesting fact.
Okay.
Now what are you going to do?
All right. Well, I will say that this fact invokes my feminist rage a little bit.
Okay.
By a lot of it. So they asked... So they asked, like, women should be considered as seriously as men for jobs as executives and or politicians. And only 90% of the country agreed with that statement, which means 1 in 10 people don't, which I want to find them and beat them up. But anyway, that's not my question.
Okay. Go ahead.
No, I was saying that 1 in 10 people didn't agree that women should be seriously considered for those positions.
This is the problem with polls. What was the poll question?
No, that was the exact statement.
What
and they
was
said,
it?
Do you agree with that?
Agree
women should be considered as seriously as men for jobs such as executives or politicians.
Okay.
Do you agree or disagree? And this is a 40-year survey.
Sure.
It's via University of Utah and I think University of Maryland. They're departments of something. I don't know. It sounded very legitimate.
You can't trust anybody who went to the University of Maryland.
Yeah. Says a terp.
Yeah.
Says the turtle himself.
Right.
But my question.
It's not a turtle. It's a terrapin.
Terrapin? Isn't that the type of turtle?
No.
Is it an auk? A penguin?
Yes. Hashtag bird.
Hashtag bird.
I'm sorry. Okay, so of married men and women, how many...
I'm one of those.
Yeah. How many hours of housework per week do men do, and how many hours of housework per week do women do?
Oh, it's way lower for men. I'm certain of that.
Oh, my God. Okay. Go ahead.
That's the question.
That's how many hours versus women?
Yeah.
Per week?
Per week.
Do you want me to give you based on my household?
No, because, you know, you guys have a good thing going, so.
Right. I would say it's 90-10. 90 female. Like, if I'm judging it by.
Oh, you're going percent.
Yeah.
No, I don't need percent. I need the actual hours.
Number of hours. Well, mm-hmm. That very much depends on how clean the house is.
Well, yeah, but this is whatever average survey,
yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
I'm going to say, you know what? Just to make the math easy, I'm going to say 9 hours a week for women and 1 hour a week for men.
Okay. Michael?
90-10.
Yeah,
I'm going to say 10 for women.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give men a little bit more credit. I'm going to say 3
okay.
for men.
This is obviously I'm older and more world-wise than you are. I'm not giving men any credit.
I'm just saying in my household, men take care of 100% of the housework.
Good.
We don't have any females in our house.
Yeah, I was going to say, you don't live with any women.
And we don't live in any.
I live with 2 women. One of them does absolutely nothing. And
well, she's like
CJ does
here.
A little bit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, Sarah. Okay, so men do an average of 4 hours of housework per week.
Okay.
Women do 14 hours per week, so 10 more hours.
10 extra hours.
Follow-up question.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
How many hours in 1965?
So
take it back. So
if it's 18 hours of work a day, let's go 17 and 1. I'm always going with 1.
So you're assuming that it's 18 hours a week is still the same amount of housework, right?
That is true. Maybe housewives, stay-at-home housewives, Leave It to Beaver,
thinking.
June Cleaver does, you know, 50 hours of housework a week.
I was going to say like 25
okay.
of housework.
Yeah.
And I'm going to drop it. I'll go to 1 at that point for men.
30 and does cutting the lawn count as housework?
I don't know.
I'd argue
that's
painting
yes.
the fence.
I'd argue yes, but it was always the kids that
Fixing
had to do that,
the sink.
Too.
Right.
So it was 2 for men and 30 for women in 1965. So two for men and 30 in 65. And then for women, it was 15 in the mid-90s, and it only really dropped an hour
so here's what I've learned. We are way dirtier than they were in the 50s and 60s.
Well, see, I had a completely different...
The Swiffer did not exist. I was about to say...
Washing machine, dishwasher.
I was about to say, how much of this drop is due to technology, though?
I would say a lot of it. Yeah. A lot of the number of hours dedicated to something.
Have you ever tried to mop with a real mop?
Yes.
No.
Oh, gosh, it's terrible.
It's really awful.
It's I'm pro Swiffer. Please, Swiffer, pay us to promote you on this podcast.
Brought to you by Swiffer.
Okay, so last question of the day
Swiffer,
in relation to this.
When you're too short to reach the other side of the fan.
That's, yeah, man. Seriously. Helps me out all the time. Okay, so for women, what is the shared household task that mattered most for the satisfaction of their relationship?
Oh my God. That is a dangerous question.
Yeah. But it's academic.
As a perpetually single guy, I'll just take a swing at this. I'm going to say laundry.
Laundry?
Laundry. Okay. Laundry is the big thing for Sarah that she doesn't want to do.
Right.
I don't want to do dishes. She doesn't want to do laundry.
Dishes would be good too.
We had a nice even split between the two of us where I did all the laundry and she did all the dishes and everybody was happy.
That's good.
So, as far as the most important thing, I mean, what falls onto the list? Like meal planning, grocery shopping, unloading groceries.
Oh, cooking, I guess, would fall under that too.
Cooking, yeah. I mean, I'm going to go with dishes. I got to think from a satisfaction standpoint, I would still say that in this day and age, the women of the household do most of the cooking. I know that is the case in my household, and Sarah never gets more unhappy when she has to do all of the cooking and the dishes. So
dishwashing is the right. And then for men, I think they said something about like shopping when they do the shopping together. That's more enjoyable.
Hate shopping.
They have more satisfaction, I guess, when the couple shop together. Dishwashing for women.
Because we can't screw up the list at that point.
No, it's because Sarah doesn't buy Doritos. If we go together, I buy Doritos.
So
my life has gotten better now because plus Doritos.
Well, it was very. We're gonna obviously include these in a link.
Do we have a secret phrase?
That's your
already?
Secret phrase. Plus Doritos. Yeah.
Plus Doritos. Yeah. But we'll obviously put these in the link dump. But super interesting about how these attitudes have changed over time and how they've been affected. So check it out. But I think we're gonna wrap it up for now. Next week, we're hopefully gonna do the saltine challenge and give you a report on that.
Yeah. Now I have to stop by the grocery store and buy saltines and Doritos.
Plus Doritos.
Yeah.
I just need to be clear on this. I'm still as confident as I was last week.
That you can get it done?
That I can get it done.
Six of them in 60 seconds.
Six of them, 60 seconds, and I think I can do it on the first run.
Would you bet against that?
Would you like to wager $1?
I'll wager $1.
All right. Done.
You taking my dollar and Lindsay's dollar?
No, he's going to wager me guacamole because we'll go to Chipotle.
There you go.
All right.
Boom. That's more than
$1.
He's going
to buy your extra guac.
Loser buys guac.
All right.
Loser buys guac, which is really the most expensive and best bet you could ever make.
Of course, yes.
Double or nothing? Yeah.
Well, see, this is the great thing. Even if I lose, I still have guac.
This is true. This is true. There's no downside to this bet.
Exactly.
All right. So this has been the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
And we don't know either.
Bye.